Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Undoubtedly, it's one of the joys of this Easter season. Together, you and I can continue to proclaim this wonderful and marvelous thing that Christ has defeated death. Not for his sake, not for fun, but for you and for me. Christ died so the people of God would have his grace, his mercy, and his peace. However, the first Easter celebrations were undoubtedly muted from the disciples. In our text today, the disciples are hiding out in a locked room for fear of the Jews. There's a real fear, both of going outside and also of letting things inside. There's a real fear there. I'm sure at this time you and I can relate to that feeling. Because you might not be locked in exactly. I mean, you're able to go out to the grocery store. Rachel and I can take Daisy out on walks, and you can have groceries and food delivered to your house. But the fear is what's most similar. See, like the disciples, countless people around the world have been afraid of letting things in. Nursing homes have locked out family members. Funerals are limited to just 10 people. The schools have been closed for the rest of the year. I mean, to help combat the spread of the virus, society has even coined a new phrase called social distancing. It's a precautionary measure that should help slow down the spread of the virus. Perhaps, like me, you can't help but follow every single announcement the governor makes. I find myself quite frequently clicking on whatever talks about this virus that we're going through. The numbers are still rising, new deaths are still being reported, and people are afraid. Not just of a virus that can get them sick or a virus that forces them to self-isolate for 2 weeks. People are afraid because of the possibility of death. For some, it's very slim. For others, it's much greater. But no matter how slim the possibility of death could be for anybody, death is what we are afraid of. Death is what you and I are afraid of, just like the disciples were. So people lock their doors. But in our reading, though, this locking of the doors, it comes just after Thomas has heard this bold declaration from his co-workers in Christ. They say, "We have seen the Lord." And yet, famously, Thomas says, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." This is what causes most people to call him Doubting Thomas. But if you've spent any real time around me discussing Thomas, you know that I have a different name for him. Just imagine, though, Thomas, along with the other disciples, they abandoned Jesus in his hour of need. They literally left him for dead. Not because of doubt, but because they were afraid. They saw a crowd of people armed to the teeth coming to take Jesus. Thomas and the rest, they didn't stop and have a moment to ponder all the previous teachings of Jesus and then decide, oh, do we want to go with him or do we want to flee? They did the first thing that came to mind when it all fell apart. They ran and they hid. Peter denied, John followed, and Thomas was damned. Damned because he denied the resurrection. Damned not because of doubt, but because he flat out refused to believe that Christ was risen. The disciples, they called out to Thomas, "Christ is risen!" And Thomas responded, "I will never believe." You see, Thomas locked out Jesus. He locked him out because he wasn't able to put his hands in the nail marks or put his hand in the side of Jesus. You see, in Thomas's mind, I believe that he thought that he had bigger fish to fry. Jesus was as good as dead, and death was coming for them next. How could these other guys make such a claim? Judas had betrayed them. Christ was crucified, and the Jews would certainly find it a simple task to take care of a few disciples. Death was outside the door. Better not take any chances. Lock the doors. Lock your heart. and pray that death goes somewhere else for a little while. But you see, death could not hold Jesus. Death could not keep him in the grave. Neither could the walls of that house or a locked door keep Jesus from seeing his disciples. See, as Jesus comes into this room and he stands among his disciples who are cowering in fear, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." See, Jesus, he's not asking. Jesus isn't making a recommendation that they find something peaceful to do. Jesus is bringing peace to them because they can see him risen and living, walking and talking. They've had 8 days to think about these things. They've had 8 days to ponder the teachings of Jesus Christ. They've had 8 days to process. See, the peace that Jesus is bringing to them is a complete and palpable peace. The words of John are ringing true as they behold the Lamb of God who has taken the sins of the world. See, the disciples know it to be true. They're not getting what they do deserve. They're getting exactly what they don't deserve. A Messiah. A Savior. The same bold truth as proclaimed by you and me during Easter, they finally realize to be true. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
So how can damned Thomas be silent? See, Christ commands him. He says, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side." He says, "Do not disbelieve, but believe." I mean, this should have been Thomas's moment. Finally, he would get the proof that he wanted. He could move on and his doubts would be erased. But this is Thomas we're talking about here. Thomas, who in John chapter 11, verse 6, boldly said, "Let us go that we may die also." When the disciples followed Jesus to go to the grave of Lazarus. This was the same Thomas who would go on and spread the gospel all throughout Asia. This was the disciple who he didn't just want to see Jesus. He wanted to touch each and every wound that was inflicted upon his teacher. Thomas was not a person for small gestures. So his response, it's just as grand. "My Lord and my God." Thomas, who woke up damned that day, ended that day a saved child of God. He believed that not only was this the same Jesus Christ who walked and talked among them, this was the Messiah. Jesus is Lord and God. Thomas can finally join the chorus of the disciples in saying, "Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah."
Christ is quick to point out, though, Thomas believes because he sees. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe. I mean, these are the last words of Jesus in this section, but John goes on to write, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." See, John wants to be clear. Jesus is Lord and God of you and me. It's the whole reason John wrote his gospel. See, Jesus isn't the focus because he's some miracle worker. Jesus isn't the central figure of history because he one time turned water into wine. The resurrection of Christ, it's not just an incredible history. The resurrection of Christ is the linchpin of all creation. Because this Jesus came out of the grave for you and for me. He is God and Lord of the living, the people of God. See, that promise, it's bursting through your doors. As sure as Christ came into the locked doors of the apostles, Christ comes through the locked doors of our houses, through our locked hearts. He brings the peace that surpasses all human understanding with him. See, Christ completed the mission that the Father promised. He sent his Holy Spirit to create faith among us. This faith that you and I have, it's a guarantee that you and I are locked in. Locked into the family of God. Locked into the new creation. Locked into the world without end. Brothers and sisters of Christ, you and I are locked in to the resurrection. So be it. Amen. As followers of Christ, keep loving one another earnestly and show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Amen.